This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another warning for corporate America. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Monday, December 12th. Glad you're with us, and here's what's up this hour.
President-elect Trump is again pledging financial penalties for U.S. companies that send jobs overseas. Hear what he said during a Fox News interview.
A Louisiana man is facing 40 years in prison after he was found guilty last night of fatally shooting former NFL player Will Smith.
A winter storm that hit the northern U.S. is now targeting upstate New York and parts of New England. Could be a messy day for some flyers.
And what's trending in holiday cards this year?
Sentiments of peace are way up. Use of the word peace is up in terms of the custom greeting cards that people are choosing. The word cheer is way down.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron on what you can expect in your mailbox this holiday season. She's here in about 20 minutes. A jury has found a Louisiana man guilty of manslaughter in the shooting death of retired New Orleans Saints player Will Smith. The decision came last night for 29-year-old Cardell Hayes, who was charged with second-degree murder following a vehicle collision in New Orleans last April. Deuce McAllister is a former teammate of Mr. Smith.
Just because there was a guilty and a non-guilty verdict, you know, that doesn't mean that everything starts over now. You know, she'll still get up in the morning and her husband is not there. You know, the kids will get up in the morning and their father's not there.
Mr. Smith, who was 34 and had retired from the National Football League in 2014, was shot 8 times back in April. His body was found slumped over the steering wheel of his Mercedes SUV. His wife, Raquel, was also shot multiple times, but she survived. Mr. Hayes faces up to 40 years in prison when sentenced next year. President-elect Donald Trump has ramped up a fight with the U.S. intelligence community by denouncing its findings of Russian meddling in the U.S. election. It's an unusual scenario for a soon-to-be president and his national security establishment. On Fox News, Mr. Trump denied the likelihood that Russia directed cyber attacks related to the U.S. election, despite contrary findings by the nation's intelligence officials.
Certain groups don't necessarily agree. Personally, it could be Russia. I don't really think it is, but who knows? I don't know either. They don't know, and I don't know.
Arizona Senator John McCain, meanwhile, was on CBS's Face the Nation.
It's clear the Russians interfered. Now, whether they intended to interfere to the degree that they were trying to elect a certain candidate, I think that's a subject of investigation.
U.S. intelligence agencies have rarely been at odds with the commander-in-chief or an incoming president over their assessment of a key American adversary. While the assessments during the Bush administration of Iraqi weapons proved wrong, they were not the subject of such a public back and forth. U.S. intelligence officials, meanwhile, have been investigating the cyber attacks for months. Well, President-elect Trump continued his very public criticism of big U.S. companies. On Fox News also yesterday, he again promised to use financial penalties to block any further shifting of jobs overseas.
But that's the free market. They made a decision. It makes...
No, that's the dumb market, okay? That's the dumb market. I'm a big free trader. But it has to be fair.
With host Chris Wallace, Mr. Trump also fired new jabs at corporations that benefit from lucrative government contracts. First off, he repeated his recent criticism of Boeing's planned deal to supply new aircraft to serve as Air Force One. He also called cost overruns at Lockheed Martin out of control. Mr. Trump, by the way, is scheduled to meet on Wednesday with executives of high-tech firms, which were among his corporate targets during the campaign. The meeting could be especially awkward for executives from Apple and Amazon, who drew some of Mr. Trump's sharpest criticism. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When your business is construction and you get a big job that has to be done in record time, you need to get the ball rolling, which means all of a sudden you're looking to buy enough sheetrock and lumber, steel, and other materials quickly. business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. Or 2000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Hey, thanks for being with us. Good Monday to you. How do you think you'll do financially with the new administration? Americans apparently are at odds about how their personal finances will fare under President-elect Trump. That's according to a new study by Bankrate.com. More from Chief Financial Analyst Greg McBride at Bankrate. Greg, what do we have?
Well, just like the election itself, which was, you know, very divisive, when it comes to the impact that people expected to have on their personal finances, there's really no clear consensus either. Nearly 40% of Americans think it's not going to have an impact one way or the other. And those that have a more positive outlook barely outnumber those that think it's going to have a negative impact. 28% of Americans said they think it's going to have a positive effect on their finances. 26% said negative. And what was interesting, Gordon, was the fact that when we looked at both those that felt positive and those that felt negative, their number one reason for feeling that way was tax policy. Those that had a positive outlook, they felt it was because their taxes were going to go down. Those that had a negative outlook, they believe their taxes will go up. So, that one thing is makes clear that people do look at taxes as something that is impactful on their personal financial situation.
Now, it's interesting because I was going to ask you, did they list kind of their wants or expectations here to sort of formulate those decisions?
Well, taxes, that one, whether you're going to pay more or less, that was top of the list. But the other things that ranked in there, whether your income, will you expect your income to go up or go down? The value of your investments, do you expect that's going to go up or go down? And your household expenses, do you foresee increases or decreases on that front? And we even saw, fair percentage that said all of the above, really kind of thinking it's going to be a compilation of each of those factors.
Interesting. So the ones who said they had a kind of a negative personal perception of what's going to happen under a Trump administration with their finances also listed taxes. They expect taxes to go up.
They expected they were going to pay higher taxes, followed by higher expenses and decreasing income. A distant fourth was decreasing value of their investments, and then about 9% actually said it was going to be all of those factors.
We're speaking with Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a survey out that says Americans are divided over the Trump effect on their finances. What about by age, Greg?
Yeah, some interesting revelations there. I mean, baby boomers, and in particular younger boomers, those between the ages of 52 and 61, they were most likely to foresee a positive impact on their finances. They cited rising income and reduced taxes, as the primary factors for that. And at the other end of the spectrum, millennials, they had the highest propensity of anybody to say it wasn't going to make much difference to their financial situation one way or the other.
Interesting. So what is it about boomers? You get the, were they big supporters of Mr. Trump?
I don't know if it's anything specific about the age group or not. It's, this is a group that, during the sluggish economic recovery, they've been plagued by prolonged levels of lengthy unemployment and stagnant wages. So you may have a belief there that both of those may change for the better as it impacts them at the personal level.
Yeah. Were the outcomes when it comes to politics predictable here?
Yeah, it sure was. You could kind of see this one coming. People's feelings break down very strongly along political lines. So those Americans that self-identify themselves as Republicans or Republican-leaning overwhelmingly expect positive effects on their personal finances. Those that identify as Democrats or Democratic-leaning predominantly expect a negative outlook on their personal finances.
Well, it's certainly gone well, at least so far, when it comes to investments since Election Day, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we actually, when we look at overall levels of financial security, we see that kind of resonating there. You know, Americans are still, you know, indicative of improved financial situations year over year. When we look at things compared to a month ago, the one that really kind of bubbles up is we see a notable improvement in net worth, and that owing, of course, to the big run we've seen in the stock market since Election Day.
Thanks, Greg. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, two Republican and two Democratic senators have come together to demand a congressional investigation of a CIA assessment that Russian hackers directed at a high government level tried to tilt the presidential campaign in Donald Trump's favor. Republican Senators Lindsey Graham and John McCain are joining incoming Senate Democratic leader Charles Schumer and Armed Services ranking member Jack Reed in the effort. On Fox News Sunday, Trump dismissed the intelligence as motivated by Democrats embarrassed by their party's defeat.
I'm not sure they put it out. I think the Democrats are putting it out because they suffered one of the greatest defeats in the history of politics in this country.
Trump is also defending his decision to receive intelligence briefings once a week instead of daily. He says if something comes up, he can be available on 1 minute's notice. More than a week before winter officially begins, the upper tier of the United States is blasted by snow, forecast to roll across upstate New York and parts of New England today, while much of the Midwest digs out from yesterday's snow dump. Chicago Streets and Sanitation Commissioner Charles Williams.
We are prepared. We're going to deal with this second wave of snow very easily. We'll be there'll definitely be a normal start to the work week and the school week.
Behind the storm, a polar vortex that could keep temperatures in North Dakota and Minnesota later this week around zero for a daytime high and bring frost as far south as Atlanta Thursday night. Turkey is vowing revenge after a pair of bomb blasts killed 38 people, including 30 police officers, outside a soccer stadium in central Istanbul Saturday night. A Kurdish militant group known as the Kurdistan Freedom Falcons is claiming responsibility. Kurdish separatists have targeted Turkish security forces in the past. Islamic State fighters retook the ancient city of Palmyra on Sunday. It's an embarrassing setback for thousands of Syrian government troops and their Russian allies defending the area after it was captured from the extremists early this year. Air travel can be stressful, even without massive weather systems upending schedules. San Francisco International Airport's been deploying therapy dogs around the terminals for some time, but now Lilu becomes the first therapy pig to join the WAG Brigade to help de-stress nervous travelers and delight animal lovers with some pre-flight petting.
I thought that's what red wine was for.
Yeah, well.
Vodka tonic or something like
that. Hey, unintended consequence. Animal rights groups now want all the restaurants in the airport to stop serving pork.
Oh, you did not just do that. And bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that. Right. Thank you, Rasa. It's 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Have you noticed this theme in your mailbox this holiday season? This year's holiday cards apparently carry more tidings of peace and hope and less cheer. Capturing the mood of the moment is a tricky feat for these greeting card makers. It's a story from Ellen Byron at the Wall Street Journal. Ellen, what are you hearing?
Sentiments of peace are way up. Use of the word peace is up in terms of the custom greeting cards that people are choosing. The word cheer is way down.
Really? And let me guess, that has something to do with politics.
It does. It does. A greeting card company called Minted told me very much after the election, that type of message, peace and hope, went way up. And normally the peace symbol and the word peace on a holiday card is a non-starter when it comes to sales. But this year it's up 14%.
No kidding. No kidding. So those types of things are appearing in words, symbols.
Yes, all of those. And this company sells across the U.S. And so it's not just, let's say, blue states that are represented here, but more a recognition that this was a really difficult election year, and people don't necessarily feel it's appropriate to send out very excitedly joyful or cheerful cards to people who may not be feeling so great.
How about that? We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. Her story is called The Most Popular Holiday Cards. Words like peace and hope are up on these cards. The word cheer is down. So if for example, you send a card that says cheer on it, somebody may jump to a conclusion that you're cheery about the state of politics in the U.S.?
I think it's more that people want to strike a slightly more somber tone. That was the sense that this company was feeling. And also, customers have been choosing non-photo cards more this year than in other years, again, because of that somber tone. And one reason behind that, the CEO told me, is because Christmas cards are often a reflection of your most personal feeling and sent to your closest acquaintances. So while people might not be that intimate when they're making, let's say, social media posts, when it comes to sending season's greetings to their closest friends and family, it's often a slightly more personal tone. And this year, tones of cheer are not resonating. The CEO of Minted told me that orders that were placed before the election, they got calls from customers saying, I need to change my card because it's completely the wrong tone.
Thanks, Ellen. Ellen Byron at the Wall Street Journal. It's 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. It's going to be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages, so you should use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassles of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. You can buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. It's so easy and so convenient. And right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, to get this special offer. It's a 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage plus a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. Again, Stamps.com, and enter the code Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. On this Monday, December 12, Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: Trump at odds with the CIA over Russian election meddling. Man convicted of shooting NFL player Will Smith. It's a manslaughter conviction. He could get 40 years. At least 25 killed by a bomb at a Christian church in Egypt. 12 injuries at a fire yesterday at a Michigan ski resort. Fox Sports says the Giants are accusing the Steelers of deflating footballs during last week's game. Ravens and Patriots in Monday Night Football tonight. Golden Globe nominations today. And the new way to pass the time at the airport during a layover. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Democrats who have struggled for years to sell the public on the Affordable Care Act are now confronting a far more urgent task: mobilizing a political coalition to save it. It's a story from reporter Russell Berman at The Atlantic, who says as Democrats are still reeling from last month's election defeat, a group of progressive advocacy groups have launched a coordinated effort to stop Republicans from repealing Obamacare without first identifying a plan to replace it. Russell, what's up?
Well, the Democrats are finally getting together after, you know, reeling from the election defeat for several weeks. They're finally organizing to try to fight what could be a rapid repeal of the Affordable Care Act. Republicans are intent on voting as early as the day or two around the inauguration of President Trump to repeal Obamacare. And so Democrats are launching a coalition of progressive and health care reform groups to try to put political pressure, particularly on some Senate Republicans, to to stop short of fully repealing the law, and to wait, take a deep breath, and to consider maybe just fixing it instead.
All right. So, what are some of the options, or maybe some of the proposals they're floating here?
Well, the message that they are sending is no repeal without replace. They're concerned that Republicans are going ahead with repealing the law and then delaying the enactment of that repeal so that they can buy time for a replacement. But Democrats are worried that this will be almost just as bad as repealing it immediately, and they want Republicans to propose a replacement before they actually repeal. So at this point, Democrats aren't putting forward any proposals of their own other than to try to say to Republicans, slow down, think this through, and come up with an alternative first.
Okay. So as you point out, time is kind of the essence here. So what's the strategy? What are they doing?
Well, they're going to try to sort of recreate essentially what Republicans and conservatives did in 2009 with the Tea Party uprising. They're going to try to hold rallies, maybe run television ads in states like Maine with Senator Susan Collins, who's more of a moderate, or West Virginia, where there's a lot of people who would lose insurance on Medicaid, for example. They're going to try to highlight the stories of people who have benefited from the Affordable Care Act and would be at risk of losing their insurance if it was repealed, in an effort to essentially make Republicans get nervous about the political backlash that could follow if they simply pull the rug out from under millions, potentially, of people on insurance.
We're speaking with Russell Berman, senior associate editor and political reporter at The Atlantic. And his piece is called Democrats Plan Fight to Save Obamacare. All right, so talk about the polling, too, because you say a plurality disapprove of Obamacare, but not so many want to actually fully repeal the thing.
Exactly. People, it's often misrepresented the unpopularity of Obamacare. It's been about an even split, give or take, for the last several years in terms of whether people support the law as a whole or don't. But when you ask them whether they want to fix it or repeal it, just one quarter of voters say that they want to repeal it entirely. More people want it to be fixed. A lot of people who say that they don't support the Affordable Care Act are actually liberals who think it should go further in expanding the government protections for people. So Republicans, are going to be going against public opinion if they repeal it entirely, and Democrats want to sort of remind them of that.
Thanks, Russell. Russell Berman from The Atlantic. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Good Monday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we're officially less than 2 weeks away until Christmas, so hopefully you've managed to finish your decorating by now. And if you went a little overboard this year and your house vaguely resembles that of Clark Griswold from Christmas Vacation, there's some good news. Your outlandish display won't necessarily send your electric bill through the roof like it might have in the past. According to the Stately blog, the cost to power 25,000 modern LED lights is significantly less than it was when Clark caused a neighborhood brownout with his incandescent light display in 1989. Stately estimates that the Griswolds, living in Illinois, would have received an electric bill in excess of $3,300 for December of that year, while the same 25,000 lights would only cost about $38 to power this year. And while a $3,300 electric bill might have taken a big chunk out of Clark's plans to put in a pool that spring, it could have been worse if the movie were set in Hawaii, for example. He could have been on the hook for over $7,500 in electricity costs.
$3,300 back in 89.
Yeah, that's just
$38 this year?
That's just the difference between incandescent bulbs and LED bulbs.
Wow.
That's how much money we're saving now.
How about that?
What we were paying back in the day.
Those are real figures. Some guesstimate.
Nothing to sneeze at. I need to take up a collection. Because I remember houses, growing up, remember houses that had displays similar to that, never thinking that they were getting thousands of dollars electric bills at the end of the month, right?
We have one house in the town next to mine that we go and visit every Christmas Eve.
Right.
It's not a particularly big house. they just have lights everywhere. He's got them, you know, striping the roof and across the grass. He's got all kinds of figurines that move and make noise. It's an absolute spectacle. Yeah. And I mean, everybody's kind of got one that they hit that
right,
they know
right, of. Yeah. Every town's got one.
It's unbelievable.
And Denver Broncos star Gordon Von Miller majored in poultry science at Texas A&M, little known fact, and even opened a chicken farm earlier this year. So it's safe to say that the reigning Super Bowl MVP likes chickens. We can only assume that his love of chickens also extends to roosters, which inspired Miller's newest pair of warm-up cleats, which were decidedly rooster themed, featuring a plume of colored feathers around the ankles. And yes, he was photographed warming up on the field with those cleats before Sunday's game versus the Tennessee Titans. Unfortunately, they weren't enough to inspire the Broncos to victory. Not only were the shoes foul themed, but the Adidas cleats came creatively packaged as well, surrounded by chicken wire inside the box.
Very clever.
You know, obviously a freebie from Adidas, who he sponsors him,
okay,
and who he does ads for. But can you imagine the contract negotiations that must take place? Like, you know, between him and the company, you know, we're going to pay you know, millions of dollars to endorse our product. And, you know, he comes back and says, yeah, that's great, but I really want rooster themed cleats for warm-ups.
I'll have to look at that.
That's going to be a deal breaker.
And you know what? I didn't realize, too, that there was actually a specific name for these shoes, warm-up cleats. Because the NFL police, of course, will not allow you to wear these things during the course of a game. You have to wear them during warm-ups if you would like to, say, make a statement on your feet.
Now, there was some special rule. Was it last week? I think they allowed, maybe for 1 week only, they allowed some people to wear different cleats
like
or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, not on any regular day. You got to get special permission first.
That's right. By the way, speaking of football, if there's a funky smell in the room today, I just want to admit, I am wearing the same clothes that I wore to work the Giants game last night. So if it's, I don't know if it was like a ketchup stain on my shirt or maybe a coffee or iced tea, but I just want to apologize.
Well, Lunker didn't have to, you know, sleep on a cot on the floor.
No, true.
Then we're okay with it. We can deal with it for a couple hours.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Yeah, our recent Irby's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
And couldn't be happier. It serves premier frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds. And the yogurt is delicious.
Yep, our customers absolutely love it. That's it over there.
Whoa, that's incredible. People really do love your Froyo robot. So you own this?
Sure do. Reese & Irvy's Froyo robots are available across the country, and it's super easy. Reese & Irvy's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
And everyone loves frozen yogurt. That's incredible. How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
You just go to froyorobots.com and enter promo code 8888. But hurry, because locations and robots are going fast.
Froyo...
Yeah, froyorobots.com. Promo code 8888.
Thanks for being with us. Major retailers have made accommodations this holiday season for shoppers with children with autism. How about this? Some Toys R Us stores and a Target have offered what they're calling quiet hours for shoppers, which feature dimmer lighting and no in-store music or announcements. They also include quiet zones. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says Toys R Us stores in the UK have offered this low-key shopping experience for 3 years, a similar move planned for stores this year in the U.S. The National Autistic Society says for many autistic people and their families, a simple trip to the shops can be overwhelming with too much information inside a busy store. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, influential senators from both parties are setting up something of a showdown with President-elect Donald Trump over U.S.-Russia policy and one of his reported cabinet picks. On Fox News Sunday, Trump dismissed a CIA assessment that Kremlin actors directed the hacks that roiled the presidential election.
Well, I don't want anyone hacking us. And I'm not only talking about countries, I'm talking about anyone, period. But if you're going to do that, I think you should not just say Russia, you should say other countries also. And maybe other individuals.
But Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham issued a joint statement Sunday with the incoming Democratic leader Chuck Schumer and top Armed Services Committee Democrat Jack Reed to call for a congressional investigation of the matter. The controversy is raising new questions about ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson's close ties to Vladimir Putin. Tillerson's reportedly in line to be selected as Secretary of State. Turks gathered to mourn yesterday after twin suicide bombings in Istanbul killed 38 people and wounded scores Saturday night at a soccer stadium Stadium. A Kurdish militant group claims responsibility. In Cairo, at least 25 Coptic Christians, mostly women and children, were killed in a bombing during Sunday Mass. Former New Orleans Saints player Will Smith's family is getting some semblance of justice. A jury last night found Cardale Hayes guilty of manslaughter in the shooting death of Smith. Hayes' defense attorney, John Fuller.
Pray for their healing in this terrible time for the Smith family and for Cardale's family.
Hayes had claimed the shooting was in self-defense. He'll be sentenced in February. There's a new UN Secretary General in town. Former Prime Minister of Portugal, Antonio Guterres, will be sworn in today to replace Ban Ki-moon of South Korea. He'll become the world's top diplomat for at least 5 years, starting January 1. Chicago startup Envy has created what it calls the world's first video toothbrush. Profix uses a video camera paired with an iOS app that lets you see the areas you've missed while brushing. It connects to your phone via Bluetooth, no pun intended, and lets you watch your brushing in real time. It even takes photos of your teeth so you can monitor problem areas and track improvement.
Do we want to see that?
Well, maybe not.
Ignorance is bliss. Okay.
But smartphone meets smart toothbrush.
There you go. Thanks, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Oh, hey, so next time you're flying, pack your dancing shoes. You might be able to squeeze in a tango during a layover. That's not code for anything. There's a Facebook page called Stranded at an Airport Tango Meetup. It was created 3 years ago by a guy named Steve Slavsky, a Boston engineering consultant and tango teacher. The Wall Street Journal says out of hundreds of posts, members report only 40 or so actual airport tangos have taken place. When dancers do match, they post triumphant videos or photos online. The night before Thanksgiving, a construction contractor was at Boston's Logan Airport waiting for a flight to Indy. Two terminals away, an anesthesiologist was on a layover en route to Newark. After his post, they met at a terminal bar and tangoed. They queued up a song on his phone, shared earbuds, and danced. More common, they say, though, are these near misses with dancers leaving or arriving within minutes of a post. Or meetups, of course, stymied by security line waits. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.